All right, it's Ask the Mayor time, and this week we're with Duke Bennett in Terre Haute. Thank you so much for having us again.
It's great to be here. Love it.
October is here. lots going on. We have a few things to get to. Let's just start with any casino news. This seems to be kind of the big news in Terre Haute right now, but it's making waves throughout the state.
It is. I mean, big gaming change in the state of Indiana to add another destination to move a license to Terre Haute. So one, we're thankful we have that opportunity to be able to have it on the ballot here in another 30 days. Really, the kind of the discussion that's happening now is there's a lot of community forums and just trying to educate the public about what this means. If you go in and you vote for it, here's kind of what will happen. If you're against it, at least you understand, you know, the reason why you're voting against it, you've got the facts. And so we just want to make sure we have informed voters. So really, outside of that, that's kind of been the push, because nothing can really happen unless the voters decide they want a casino.
Right, and operators have until December 1st to apply. Has there been any news on that front?
Not really. It's been kind of quiet, because I think a lot of them are just waiting to see if it passes. They'll jump in. They'll have about a month to jump in then and get their applications in.
You know, last month we talked about this. You said you're just a little worried about approved casinos in Illinois and elsewhere. And elsewhere having an effect in Indiana, not just Terre Haute. There's also a report that I saw that said casino revenue declining 30% in August, and it's a trend since 2009. So that's gotta be a little concerning too,
yeah,
no?
You know, a little bit. Yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with, obviously, the economy. If you have more disposable income, so you kind of say, well, economy's doing pretty good. Why are people not spending money to go to the casinos? Not sure. You know, there's no answer for that. When I've talked to some people kind of in the industry, they think everything's cyclical, and they think it's really up to them to market their product, you know, correctly and be able to get people to come in and have some fun. And so I'm not overly concerned about that, but the more casinos you have, obviously the more the money gets kind of diluted across a wide variety of opportunities, including online, you know, sports gaming now. So that's a whole new piece that hadn't even been factored into this because it just started. So I think we'll still do well here. I mean, there's nothing that tells me we won't, because we're 2 hours away from any other casino, but there's a lot of pressure, you know, for other states to jump into this too. Kentucky's talking about it. So who knows where this goes.
You know, it's funny you mentioned the online sports betting is projected to be big in Indiana, over hundreds of millions of dollars coming in. They're expected. So, like you said, there could be other means of casino revenue in Indiana too.
Right. So
things change.
Yeah, and with two things happening for us: one, that you've got sports gaming and available online or in the casino. But then having a casino here, obviously there's going to be some newness to it. I'm sure we'll do really well at first, but then it all depends how you market it and how you play the market itself as the owner, because you want those people to be repeat customers. You want them to come back. And so we've just got to make sure that we do everything we can to make the city look good, and we present ourselves in a way that people want to come to Terre Haute, and maybe that's one of the places they go.
Yeah. You know, this may be a little premature because the election hasn't happened yet, but you have to think a little bit about the economy and how it will impact the economy here, and which is one of the main reasons why you want the casino here. Has there been any discussion about where the casino would be? I know there have been talk about it be more toward I-70 and not so much in the downtown area.
You know, 3 years ago when Rising Star was looking at expanding here from down south, that's where they thought the best place it should be. And I think every other marketing guru would look at that and say, right on I-70, kind of on the east part of Vigo County, so we're closer to Indy, and we're still yet easy to access from Illinois. That makes a lot of sense. And so in the past, everybody wanted the casinos downtown along the river, you know, to be that big tourist destination, but it's harder to get people who are traveling from a distance to get to somewhere that's hard to drive to. And if you're just passing through town on the interstate, hey, let's stop at the casino. Because we'd like to see other people from outside of Vigo County spending their money here. That's kind of the goal. And so the more accessible you make it, the better they seem to do.
It's interesting to hear both sides, because like you said, you would think a downtown casino you're building a convention center.
It'd be
the
great.
The Holman Center is being renovated. I mean, there's how many museums are going up downtown?
You know, there'll be nine total in just a very short time. Maybe.
Yeah. So it's just very interesting to hear both sides of that equation.
I wish if that was a good fit like that, but I understand the private developer. They're investing their money. They want to be where they can have the best shot at, you know, bringing people in, patrons for their casino. So I completely understand why they would want to be on the interstate.
And of course, this all depends on the referendum
exactly.
next month.
Nothing happens so. unless the voters say yes. Then we take the next step.
But November's election is either non-existent or very small in many communities and cities across the state. But here, Vigo County, Terre Haute, you're up for re-election.
Yes.
There's a school referendum, I believe, for what, teacher compensation, school
it's
safety.
It's operation, yeah. So basically some operational things. They've got a deficit they're running, and so they're asking for additional funds to close the gap on that. They're going to have to make some cuts and this new revenue.
And then, of course, we talked about the referendum, the casino.
Right.
But so I'm sure you're hoping that Vigo County, Terre Haute residents really come out and vote next month.
Well, you know, they just need to. So first of all, I want them to come out and vote for the mayor and the city council and everything else. But those two referendums are pretty significant. And in this cycle, the people in the county are going to get to vote on both on those both of those referendums. So if you live in the county, you can't vote for the mayor or the city council, but you can vote for the two referendums. So you would think that would increase turnout because either people are for or against both of those things. And so, you know, it's important, I think, from an economic development perspective that we get the casino here, and we've got to support our schools. So hopefully people look at it like that. Okay, what can I do to be supportive of those things? And they come out and they, you know, vote and show us what you really want this community to do.
Homecoming is this weekend at ISU, and I know we talked about this before. Last year there were some shootings, some party events that kind of got out of control. But the city and ISU have really gotten together this past year and months ago and really looking ahead to this weekend.
We've been working on it almost a year now. We had multiple meetings. We had meetings with business owners, the public, ISU students, staff. I mean, kind of across the board, multiple occasions to say, what do you all think we can do to make this a better experience for people? And so ISU made some tough decisions about what the layout out at the stadium will be for the football game. Kind of where the tailgating occurs and where the alumni tents and those kind of things are located. And so I think, you know, their strategy, I think it sounds good from the perspective of you've got a better management of those grounds, the walk from downtown when the parade's over to get to the football stadium on the east side is the thing that we're focused on as the city of Terre Haute, and we'll have 15 officers patrolling that stretch the whole entire time, along with the fire department available for anything that goes wrong. And you know, I feel really good about this plan. We're not gonna have as many pop-up tents this year. Looks like we're gonna have five or less. Last year we had like 15. And so when you add those additional bar stops along the way, people are more intoxicated. And so we don't want that. And they're welcome to create these, but they got to follow the rules. And so it looks like the numbers are down on that. So that should make it a much better experience for everybody going from point A to point B.
And for those who are not familiar, these tents are pop-up tents that kind of come up throughout the city?
Yeah, so along Wabash Avenue. So you've got, you know, the standard brick-and-mortar businesses that are downtown, some restaurants and bars that have specials that day and encourage music. You know, they just do things to bring you in to their business or maybe a tent next to their business. But then you have other businesses that aren't located on Wabash Avenue that get a permit to operate, like in empty parking lots or vacant lots along the way. And last year, I think we had 14 or 15 of those. We were just totally caught off guard by that. And so I think that was a contributing factor because much more alcohol being available created many more people who probably should have stayed home and not made their way to the stadium.
I see. Is it fourth balanced budget in a row?
Yeah, we've had four, this, including this year, 2019 is a balanced budget, but the one that city council just approved
for 2020
is also balanced. So that'll be five.
And I see the Tribstar reported a $3.3 million increase in spending. And I think you were quoted in that article as saying a $1.8 million surplus. Is that correct?
Yeah, and the reason why the increase is really there's a couple of specific things. One is Lafayette Avenue project we're doing next year is $1.8 million of that. And we've just kind of deferred some capital projects, vehicle purchases and some new roofs and some things like that on some buildings. So we've deferred those for the last few years because we've been trying to build our reserves up. But now we're in a much better position to be able to spend some money. So budget went up a little bit because of those things. And so it's not a significant increase. It might sound like it. Of course, a few million dollars is an increase. But our budget's about $96.5 million, and it seems to be in line with many other communities our size, because that includes the wastewater treatment plant. So, you know, that's a $32 million utility down there. So I feel really good about this budget. And as I said, it's balanced. And that $1.8 million of surplus next year, that's if we spend 100% of our budget. We never do. We always come in somewhere between 1% and 2% under. So you could probably add another million to $2 million onto that.
Is this the first time that you've been able to say you're going to have a surplus?
No, we've had it for the last few years. Okay. We've had to build some reserves. So it's not, you know, the money's kind of going to sit in the bank, if you will. This is the biggest one, though, without any question.
What does this 2020 budget represent to you during your tenure as mayor?
Well, I would say that the pressure's off. We're starting to invest in ourselves. We've got a little bit of money in for blight elimination next year, another $100,000 to tear down homes next year. We added some money to sidewalks, paving projects. I mean, those are the kind of things. We've added more money to the parks budget. So we're doing some things that we've wanted to do for a little while, but just haven't been able to do because of the tax caps. And so we got new money coming in from the public safety law at beginning this year. So that took a little bit of pressure off. And so kind of like everything coming together here to make it a more flexible budget, a reactive budget in a way that we can start doing some things that we just really couldn't do. We had to just say, it's gonna have to wait another year.
And I know you mentioned the police, the new police station.
Yes.
Is part of that too.
And we've got that funded in that budget. We just have to work out the financials to get the building built, but the money is all there. So that won't be any additional pressure on the budget at all to pay for that.
Any indication about when that could start
happening? Well, we're still negotiating some things because there's three different ways we can finance it. And so we're trying to explore which is the best way. We'd like to stretch the payments out over 20 years and then own it at the end of that. You know, we're not just going to drop cash on it to build it. And whether we bond it or whether we go through a traditional financing or we use this lease to own scenario, that's what we're trying to figure out. What does the market provide us with the best financial package?
And as we are in October, we're getting through this last quarter. How does the projections now for this year?
It looks just like what we thought it would. I mean, really, we're pretty close. There's a couple of budgets have spent a little bit more than we thought, but most of the budgets have spent less. So I think we'll come in it'll be just about what we said it was going to be. There were no big surprises this year. There's always some things that happen throughout the year that you just don't really have control over. But as we were just doing a review through August this week, it looks like we're right on target.
Have to get a little quick update on the jail. I heard bids open for construction and actually came in a little lower, although the price around, what, $60
million?
Yeah. So will this make the recommendations a little bit easier to move forward?
That's a great question. I talked to one of the county commissioners today and they said they're kind of going through the detail of that now. Some of the sub-bids in there were higher than what they thought they might be. And so they're still trying to figure out, how do we manage the whole thing at this point? What changes can they make? And, you know, I think there's still some work to be done there, but at least now they know if they want to build what they proposed, that's what it's going to cost. And so that's very helpful because now you can cash flow that out and then say, you know what, we're going to have to make some cuts or we think we're right on it. And I don't think they've made that final decision yet, but they're working through it. So at least it's happening, and I think soon we'll have an answer.
Any road construction updates?
We're really wrapping up. You know, we finished Maple Avenue here recently. We're doing a couple of small streets right now that we had some drainage issues on, and then we're going to be paving the parking lot at the YMCA. So I think we're down to our last three small projects here because the plant will be closing in about a month or so, maybe a little more than that. So we're kind of on the schedule here for the end of the month to complete the city's paving project. So thankful that part's over. We had a great year. We got a lot done, but it was inconvenient for people. We had two projects and then we had all our paving. And so it was, and then of course, Third Street was being paved by NDOT. So that added a huge headache for several months, but you know, at the end of that, it's always about the smooth roads, and people appreciate that. You just have to kind of put up with the construction during the summer.
And it looks really nice when you come in, too, I will say.
It looks great, actually. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't be happier than have a lot of these have all turned out. But 3rd Street, you know, is kind of our, I mean, that's the major thoroughfare, and people are complimenting all the time about that.
We're getting close to the end of our time, but I always want to leave at least a minute or two for you. Do you have any announcements or things that you'd like to say?
No, I don't. I mean, nothing specific. I just think it's been a great year so far. I love the fall now, so I'm glad we're moving into the fall season and, you know, the festivals and just a lot of things going on in our community. It's always a fun time. And it seems like we've wrapped all our projects up the way I wanted, and we stayed within budget on all those. That's always good. We got our budget approved for next year, so that's behind us. And we got a new group health insurance plan that seems to be going well with everybody. It's going to save us some money. That's been a huge thing. And we've been working on a lot of stuff, and you just kind of like to check those boxes off, that things turned out the way you thought they would, and you're ready to kind of start thinking about 2020. So. I'm happy where we're at, and here it is October. The end of the year is going to come quickly, and I'm just, I'm excited where Terre Haute's at right now.
And some raises for
staff. 4% raises for our staff.
Non-elected staff.
Right, except elected officials.
Right.
The judge and the clerk and the mayor and the city council didn't take a raise, but, you know, we're averaging a little over 1% for the 12 years I've been here. I think we had 4 years where they got zero. But we just needed to do something. We've really asked fewer people to do more things all the time because we're not filled a lot of positions. So we wanted to do something for the employees, and it worked. Still had a balanced budget with a surplus, even though we did that. And so I feel really good about taking care of our employees.
And that was a
4%?
4% raise.
Yep.
And do you look at other cities in terms of determining?
We
just
strictly kind of looked at what we thought we could do and wanted to do something. Of significance, so it was kind of measurable. They'd be able to really see that in their paychecks, and that's what we worked out.
Was there one last year?
We had a 1%.
1%, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank
we'll see you next month.
All right.